Good morning and welcome to the Community Review. I'm Josefa Salinas, your host. Many of you know I have a girls' camp that I run every summer, and I teach my girls volleyball because most of the girls, if not all of them, but I'll say a good 96% of them, are girls of color, and they don't usually think about playing volleyball because it's just not a sport that generally, in our communities, people think about playing, but there are scholarships galore waiting for girls of color. And that's why I introduced them to volleyball. Here's another sport that girls might not think about, especially girls from our communities. Swimming, swim team. There's a great book out. It's amazing. It's called Swim Team, Small Waves, Big Changes. Johnny Christmas is the author, and I can't wait to talk to him about this incredible book that's written like a graphic novel. And that's what makes it so much fun for kids to pick up and read. And Johnny, it is so good to have you here.
Thanks for having me here, Josefa.
Well, it's wonderful to have you. Now tell me, why a book about swim team? Do you have any personal knowledge? Were you on the swim team? Did you know somebody else on the swim team?
No, like many youngsters in our communities, when I was a kid, I fell into a pool and I almost drowned. And I always thought that was kind of a personal failing. I thought it was something that was specific to me. And it wasn't until later, as I was growing up, that I started realizing, actually, there's no pool in my community. Actually, there was no pool anywhere near my community. And that there were and no one in my neighborhood. A lot of the kids didn't know how to swim. And parent and kids who don't know how to swim are generally products of parents who don't know how to swim because they don't have pools in their communities when they were growing up. So I really wanted to have a story that would be about friendship and fun and adventure and new experiences, but also that was centered around this very important, aspect of our modern life here, where about access to pools and how learning to swim early on can have a massive change in how one lives one's life in relation to the water, swimming, pools, et cetera.
Yeah, I noticed a massive difference because I grew up in the Midwest, between the Midwest and Mexico. And one of the things I found astonishing when I got out to California 30 years ago was that the schools weren't like the schools I grew up with. And I'm like, wait a minute, our school had a running track, an all-weather track, so we could even run in the wintertime. It had a swimming pool, locker rooms for the gym, and a baseball field. And I mean, and this is in, you know, Michigan. And I got out here and kids are playing like they have gym on a parking lot. So basically they're just bouncing a ball. And I'm like, wait a minute, how do you guys have PE? And then you don't change clothes? I mean, it was astonishing. I was like, what the heck is this? Where did PE go? And it seems like PE has just fallen off everywhere, which could be one of the, I think, contributing factors to the massive amount of childhood obesity. And when you walk around and you see kids and you're like, are you not having any PE at school? Because you look like you aren't. And that's scary because there's, you know, diabetes is heading. It's getting younger and younger and younger when people are being diagnosed with diabetes, obesity, all kinds of issues. And I really think that the base of it begins with the fact that there's no PE in school anymore. And in many places, there isn't a pool. There aren't places for kids to run, jump, skip, hop, and learn how to be a part of a team. And that's essential to life. So talk to me about this book, Swim Team, and Bree, your character.
So Bree is a kid who originally comes from Brooklyn. Her dad gets a new job in a small town in Florida that is swim crazy. Everybody in this town is, you know, fanatical about swimming because they once had a team that, you know, made it to the state championships many years ago, which is a very vital part of our story that we double back to, where we see sort of the generational impacts of swimming and, you know, and what this team meant to this town. Bree didn't have access to pools in her neighborhood in Brooklyn, and she grew up with this that stereotype. A lot of times with these stereotypes, they don't just affect communities outside of, you know, say the host community, but they affect the community itself. You know, folks adopt these ideas, and young Bree adopts the idea that black people aren't good at swimming. So ergo, she's not good at swimming. So she has this fear around the pool. So when she comes to a school that does have a pool and that does have all these, you know, activities, much like you said, Josefa, it's a steep learning curve for her to get into that groove, and she takes a long time to get into a situation where she can get into swimming. Actually, it was a crisis point in the book where she actually falls into the pool, much like what happened to me when I was a child. Turns the story around where she finally says, "Okay, you know, I think now's the time for me to face my fear and approach this swimming." But yeah, much like you said, I grew up in Miami, Florida, and with our PE, it was very much like, you know, you have a field, you have a track, but there wasn't that much more, which is quite interesting. Now that you say that, I was reflecting back on my experiences, and yeah, it was very much just kind of like we had a lot of room to run because it was Florida, but not a lot of not a lot of amenities or things that you can kind of you know, not a lot of tools. We had balls and fields, basically. But yeah,
right.
not a lot of swimming and that sort of thing.
Yeah, and now kids have to join clubs, or parents have to pay for a kid to learn what I learned in school. And it's just, I'm like, wow, what have we done to our kids in education? Do you think that sports, or at least learning the basics of a sport, is key to anything in a child's life?
Absolutely. I think sport is really wonderful in teaching young people how to, not only how to win with grace, but how to lose with dignity, and how to take the lessons learned from those losses and apply them to life. Because you don't, by and large, you don't really learn too much from a victory. You learn a lot from a loss. And having that social structure of, a bunch of friends and a bunch of, rivals, it teaches you how to go about the challenges that you're going to face, that they're going to face in the world, in a very safe, controlled environment. So I think that's why, a lot of times when especially young people who might be at risk of getting into trouble, getting them into a team sport is so vital, because it mirrors a lot of the, organizations that they might end up in, but in a very safe way, structured way. There's coaching, there's reinforcing of good values, and there's weaning away of, you can see in real time how bad habits affect you negatively. So team sport's vital, I believe.
Now, you wrote the book in a graphic novel kind of style. Why did you decide to do that with this book?
Well, as a kid, I always gravitated towards art and drawing, much like most kids. But I think with me, I just kind of never stopped. You know, I think that's the difference between a professional artist or writer and people who aren't. Like, we're all attracted to storytellers. We're all storytellers. Around the dinner table, we all tell stories. Around our friends, we try to get a laugh, you know, what have you. But for whatever reason, I never stopped. And I always found the immediacy of graphic novels were very powerful, especially with young people, because you can see the totality of it's very clear in terms of what the emotional content of the story is, because you can see a character's face, you can see their emotion. And it's vital to getting a lot of these very important messages across in a way that doesn't feel like eating your vegetables, you know.
Right.
It's fun, engaging, bright colors, and it's about friendship, it's about all these other things, but underneath all of the eye candy, if you will, you can get in these really important messages to our young people, where they can read in a safe environment. They can have their private little book that they can read, and it's all theirs, but you can really help them, help guide them with graphic novels in a way that I think is a little bit more immediate than a lot of other formats.
Now, graphic novels are, when someone older looks at them, they may think, oh, that's just a cartoon. It can't possibly be teaching something educational. And yet, more and more, I'm seeing books, especially written for this middle school, young people age group, where they're doing them as graphic novels. And do you think that things will change a little bit more and that these will be accepted as educational tools?
Yeah, I believe that change is already happening right now, because there's such a good, there's so much good stuff that's coming out. And I think the word is out that amongst authors and educators that these can be a really important tool for teaching young people, and getting to young people in a empathetic way. A lot of young people in my life are obsessed with graphic novels in a way that young people weren't when I was a kid, and I think they learn once they read a book, they come back to you with all these questions like, oh, did you feel like that sometimes, or oh, that happens to me sometimes, and they could slowly approach you with some of the things that they learned in the book, and then a trusted adult in their life can then the conversation's already started. If nothing else, graphic novels are wonderful conversation starters, and in many cases, they can teach you so much. Like I remember as a young person, reading Mouse was very important to me in terms of learning about aspects of the Holocaust from a personal perspective of the narrator. Because the narrator wasn't like a history book. It was a son telling the story of his father, and being put there first person was really, really eye-opening in a way that was, it was fantastic. And graphic novels continue to have that that reach and that ability to take a young person and put them firsthand in an experience that they might not have in the real world, but they can feel it through the character of the book.
Now, there's no doubt that racism, race relations, and the United States, what's going on currently in real life, are big topics. And could a book like this or other books similar to this help ease the conversation and ease young people into the conversation and perhaps make it easier for parents to discuss the realism of racism and systematic racism?
I believe so, because the beauty of these are, if a young person who may not be a young black girl is reading the story through Bree's eyes, they get an understanding of what Bree's world is like in a way that isn't like the news or some other vehicle that's outside of themselves. They get to be Bree and see what it's like to be, that person. So when you see her challenges, they become your challenges, with just a little bit of imagination, right? Like when I was speaking about Mouse, when I was reading Mouse, you can get lost in there and go, oh, wow, that's, what would it be like if that could be me? I'm feeling the feeling this character is feeling. Perhaps this could happen to me too. So I think, if nothing else, these are wonderful ways to start the conversation. Great literature in the past have put people in places where they wouldn't be in the day-to-day course of their lives. And graphic novels are a wonderful way to teach, to show young people, show them early on, that there's a world outside of their own experience, and that empathy really is vital to a functioning world and a fruitful one, that we don't have to be at odds with each other. And these stories like this are wonderful ways, wonderful first steps into how one can find themselves on the path to greater empathy.
We're talking with Johnny Christmas this morning about his book, Swim Team, Small Waves, Big Changes. So, Johnny, I have to ask, why did you decide to become a graphic novelist? How did you do it? Did you go to school for it? Was it just a natural talent? Tell the audience so that they can learn about this profession and how they might get into it as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, well, like I said, as a kid, I never stopped, right? So you start. So I was maybe slightly better than the other kids, so that was the one thing that made me notable in drawing. So I just kind of never stopped doing that, and I just got better and better and better over time, which is another one of the messages of the book, that if you these small little changes, if you keep reinforcing them, you get better and better and better. You have big waves from tiny little ripples. So, yes, I ended up at an art high school and continued doing comics, and then got really serious about comics in high school. Then went to a went to Pratt Institute in Brooklyn, got my got a job as a graphic designer. Did that for a while and kind of stepped away from drawing. And then later on, I found my way back to it because I really loved the long form narrative powers of the graphic novel, and that you could tell this epic sweeping tale, you know, from your room with a pen. You know, you just a pen and a paper. You can tell a story of, you know, vast sweeping, you know, as small as you want or as big as you want. You could do that. So it continued to pull at me, and I slowly started making stories again. And little by little, I got back in, and I got into became a professional cartoonist, and been a pro for about 10 years now. And it's taken me 10 years to write this book, and I couldn't be happier.
Let's talk a little bit about your writing process. I always like to ask authors, do you set aside a certain amount of time every day, like I'm writing from 10 to 2, or do you get an idea, lock yourself away, and just write until it all is finished? What is your writing process? Talk to us about that in a day with Johnny Christmas.
Well, I get up pretty early for writing. There was a time when I was, I read somewhere that Toni Morrison got up at 5, right? So for whatever reason, I got that in my head. And plus, as a cartoonist, when you're drawing for a big chunk of the day, getting up early really helps. So I would get up, you know, pretty early, and then I would write for 3 hours. And I would, 5 to 7 days a week, I would write at a set time every day. And the way I would write is I write in this sort of, I would just kind of expunge everything out of me and just kind of write it all down. It doesn't have a lot of form. It's just all emotional and informational. And then I take that and then I break that down into an outline and just kind of trim the fat off of that. And then I break that down into a script, almost like I'm writing a script for someone else who's not going to be drawing it, so that I'm absolutely clear when it comes time to drawing it. It's all written out on the script, like it works on the page, so that I know by the time I'm drawing it, I'm going to be flying, you know. So I break it down. I need that structure personally. I know some people fly by the seat of their pants and they wait for inspiration. I can't do it that way. I need to sit there and hammer it out, because if I wait for inspiration, you know, it's never, you know, inspiration comes at odd times and it never happens right when I'm sitting at the desk. So I have to be at the desk to kind of capture whatever I've kind of collected over the course of days and weeks, and just every day just kind of hammer and chisel and try and find what it is I'm trying to say. It's like, you know, when you have a dream and it's all completely perfect in your head until you try to articulate it to a friend. You go, oh, yeah, I had a dream, and you have to put it in words and communicate it. That's what the 3 hours is like for me. So I have this – I know what it feels like, but to communicate it, that takes quite a bit of time.
Well, it's a wonderful book, Swim Team, Small Waves, Big Changes. It's an incredible graphic novel that will be a wonderful, wonderful addition to your young person's reading for the summer. They will love it. I'm sure they will pick it up and read it from front to back right away. But I think even as adults, you should pick this book up and read it, because what a great conversation starter it will be for a subject that is just exploding off the headlines in our news stories. Your kids know, trust me. You might not be watching the news at home, but they're talking about it in school. Kids are talking about it on the streets. They're talking about it everywhere. The current situations of racism and lack of community across the country. So this might be an easy way to ease into the conversation, like you ease into a swimming pool. Swim Team, Small Waves, Big Changes. Johnny Christmas, give us some social media where people can find out more about you.
Yeah, I'm at Johnny Xmas on Instagram. I'm on Facebook as Johnny Christmas, and I'm on Twitter as J_, that's right, you heard underscore, J_Xmas on Twitter. But yeah, you could generally find me on, I'm at johnnychristmas.com is my website. And yeah, if you Google me, you'll find me. There's not a lot of Johnny Christmases, Johnny with an I-E out there. So yeah, you can find me.
Yeah. Yeah. And I got to ask you before you go, where did you get your name from?
Yeah, it's just a family name. Yeah, a lot of folks assume that I made it up, but no, yeah, Johnny Christmas is my actual name. Well, John, legal name John Christmas, but yeah, if I came up with a name, it would be like Johnny Lightsaber or something like that, but yeah, family name.
Well, that is absolutely awesome. And people ask me all the time, did you make up your name? I'm like, seriously? I would make up Josefa? No, it was like my grandmother's name and then my great-grandmother's name. It's been passed down. It's one of those names that you could only get from your grandmother, for sure. Well, Johnny, it has been a delight talking with you today. Continued success. And when you write that next graphic novel, whatever it is, please come back and see us.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me, Josefa.
We got more coming up, so settle on in.